Munster wants to continue on this trajectory, I think this could be a blessing in disguise.
I agree with you. Johan van Grand, it's been grand, right? It's been fine.
OTB AM, live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Christmas panel in association with Carlsberg. Best time of the year? Probably. Get the facts, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie.
Hello and welcome to a very special Christmas panel with thanks to our friends over at Carlsberg. We're catching up with three friends of the show to chat about Christmas, to have a little bit of a look back on the year that was and a little bit of a look ahead to 2022 as well. Delighted to say that we have got Mayo football legend Andy Moran with us. Andy, how are you getting on?
Good now, yeah, all's good. Busy couple of days, but lovely to join you.
Good stuff. We've also got Republic of Ireland football legend, also a bit of a Mayo legend himself, Kevin Kilbane. How are you, Kev?
I'm good, Owen. How are you keeping?
Yeah, very well. And our third guest is not a Mayo person, but she is a Republic of Ireland football legend as well. Denise O'Sullivan, how are you keeping?
I'm good, Owen. How are you?
Yeah, very well. You're all very welcome. And this Christmas, more than ever, will be about quality catch-ups with family and friends. And to celebrate on OTB Sports, we're having this special panel discussion with some familiar friends. It's all in association with Carlsberg. The hashtag is Carlsberg Christmas. Don't forget, you can also win a Carlsberg Christmas get-together by heading over to carlsbergcompetition.com. That's for over 18s only. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. So I was interested in chatting to all three of you about the life of an athlete this time of the year. We may start with the person who is the current athlete. Denise, how is this Christmas looking for you? I presume working, playing over in the United States gives you a bit of a break. It's one of the benefits of playing over there, that you get a bit of a break at Christmas.
Yeah, the off season actually runs through Christmas and about a month before. So it's actually nice to get home to the family. Usually I'm in Australia or some other country in the world during this time, but I made it a priority this year just to be at home with family, because you don't get to do that often when you're in season, and especially being over in America, don't really see them very much. So back here, still training away in the gym and stuff, just keeping fit, ticking over, but it's good to spend time with family for sure.
Is the training all solo work at this point, or have you got to kick about with a team or anything like that?
No, just myself, 5 days in the gym. Usually don't really kick a ball very much during the off season, maybe once a week. Usually just work in the gym and strength work and different core stability stuff and all that, just to get better myself and focus on those areas. But as close as I get to the season, I'll start kicking a ball again, but I'm taking a break from that now.
And is this all kind of a self thing that you're doing yourself to try and keep yourself ticking along, or do the club say to people back on the other side of the world, listen, this is what we want you to be doing?
They don't really, you know, you're a professional athlete, so they expect you to do it yourself. We have a strength coach within the club that does provide programs if we need, but I have my own individual coach in America, and he keeps in touch with me, provides the programs, sees how I'm doing. So I just get stuff from him and then take away myself and just try to stay motivated doing it myself here in Cork.
The big question is, can you have a proper Christmas dinner?
Oh yeah, for sure. Right. I'm not that strict. But I'll definitely have a big Christmas dinner. But yeah, the main thing is just to stay consistent. I think that's the most important thing, and then enjoy yourself and have that balance.
And are your teammates, your Republic of Ireland teammates, that is, absolutely raging when they see that you're off having your Christmas dinner and the ones in the league, say in England, have to tog off and actually play around Christmas time?
Yeah, I'd say they are. To be honest, I get a grand break, and it's nice that it's during Christmas, so I'd say they're definitely raging, yeah.
Andy, what's Christmas looking like for you? You're in this lovely little period between playing and about to go into your first inter-county management gig, obviously, next year.
Yeah, I was laughing there. I remember the two key days for us when we were back playing was either St. Stephen's Day or the 27th, and everyone was just hoping that the training session, the weight session, was put on St. Stephen's Day and not on the 27th. And the giddiness that used to be in the gym on the 26th, you know, where are you going? What are you doing tonight? You know, but if training was ever put on the 27th, that was just evil. You know, it was just evil. So no, we've given the Leitrim boys. So they'll train this week, and then they'll have the 21st and the 28th off, just completely off, and they'll come back training. Then I just think the season starts, it's going to start at such a speed, and it's a very tricky time for inter-county players, because you know what's coming ahead and you need to be ready. But I think if you want to get that kind of respect and help in around New Year's Eve, you need to give them a bit of a Christmas. So that's 7 days. They'll just go off, enjoy themselves. I don't think, no matter what I said, they'll eat what they want anyway and then come back come back in the shape. We'll work from there then. But they're a great bunch, to be fair. Really good guys. They seem to be really kind of consistent in what they're trying to do. So I think they're adults, and there needs to be a bit of trust there as well.
We've kind of got to that stage now, haven't we, Andy, where the idea of banning players from doing certain things is something of the past. There is that level of trust, it seems, between managers and their players.
Yeah, I'm not too far out of the game myself to remember what it was like. You know, I do remember, like, the great stories that you get out of St. Stephen's Night. Like, so the boys go out on St. Stephen's Night, and I was a bit older and married and stuff like that, and the stories we used to get for the next 5 days used to nearly keep you going, you know, the next 2 weeks, and the bit of crack, the bit of fun, and the bit of banter. So I think that's important within a group as well, and there's a few comedians down there, and I'm sure they'll have a few stories to come back in with after Christmas.
So you're not going to be lurking around Carrick trying to keep an eye on who's actually going out on Stephen's Night or anything like that?
I've alias right. Snapchats and Instagram now, so I can just check on all their stories and all that. No, that's not my style. We're doing an element of trust, and they've put in a big effort since we went back, so I'm sure they will for the next 2 weeks, and away we go.
Kevin, you've got into this routine of your post-playing days for quite a while at this point. I mean, what is this Christmas going to involve for you? How is it going to differ to the last couple of years? Feet up, I presume.
Yeah, very much so. I think certainly, well, up until last Christmas, where everything was pretty much still on the go over the Christmas and into the new year, I was usually working on games. So I would have worked Stephen's Day. I would have worked probably the 28th, 29th, certainly around that and into the new year. So there'd have been a lot of games I would have been working at. So in terms of time off, there would have been very little change from playing, but at least after a game that I would have worked at, I could have gone and had a few drinks at night, and, you know, food, there wouldn't be no issues with that as well. So I would have kind of done what I wanted, but you still would have had an eye on the game that you would have had to do because of the travel that would have been involved. Usually you might have to be down in London or wherever I would have been. So that sort of travel would have been more so the inconvenience around it all. But I think back to when I was playing, and it's totally different. It's totally different than how I used to, you know, just get my head, my mindset around just that stricter period over that 10 days or so.
What did Christmas Day tend to look like for you? I know we were speaking to Kenny Cunningham a few weeks ago, saying that every Christmas morning was training for him. He didn't really get by a single year, I don't think, without training on Christmas. Was that the same for you?
Yeah, it was. We used to train every Christmas. It wasn't necessarily in the morning. It could have been in the evening as well. It just depends how it used to fall. If we had an away game on Stephen's Day, then we probably would have gone in for training round about 4 or 5 o'clock. I would have thought it would have been. So we would have had a little bit of Christmas dinner at home, gone to training, and then we would have got on the team bus to go to wherever we were traveling to, the hotel. If we had a home game, I'd say we're at Everton or wherever it would have been, David Moyes would have maybe had us in the morning. We would have trained probably early round, maybe get in for 8:30, train, start training at 9 o'clock, do your hour or so session, and then you would have had more or less the full day back at home with the family preparing for the game the following day. So, you know, most managers know themselves that they like to give you a little bit of time at home with the family and things like that. But realistically, when you're playing, your mind is on the game, and it's all consuming. No matter what anyone tells you, you try and switch off as much as you can. But that this period usually defines a season. Certainly when I was playing, I used to always feel that. Used to, certainly from mid-December to mid-January, that 4 weeks, you'd usually have probably about 10 games during that time. You certainly have five over the, from say maybe the 20th of December to the 5th of January or something like that. So over a 15, 16 day period, there was that many games. You'd never be able to get your body prepared fully for the game that you had coming round. You were focused on the games, and, you know, Christmas just seemed to come and go. I always used to say I never really celebrated a Christmas from the age of 15 and until I finished. And that was pretty much how it was for 20 years.
Jeez, that first Christmas dinner after retirement must have been absolutely incredible.
Oh, tell me about it. It was more just able to, you know, Andy talking there about, you know, going out on Stephen's Night and things like this. That's what we used to be able to, you know, just being able to do that, have a few drinks on Christmas Eve, across the day on Christmas Day, having a few beers and whatever, just to switch off totally. And as I said before, you still kind of, you know, you're still in that mindset, certainly for the first few years, I always felt, of, I mean, I heard Denise saying before, you're still training, you're still in the gym and things like that. But that's kind of how you were. And then it took 2 or 3 years before I was able to really switch off totally and not necessarily concentrate on football at all, which was nice.
Denise, before you went over to the States, was Christmas Day a real feature of your training schedule?
I would usually spend it with family, to be honest, because, right. I mean, in the States and in Australia, you'd have a game St. Stephen's Day, definitely in Australia. And obviously, as Kevin said, your mind is just on the game and that's all you're thinking about. But yeah, before I went professional, then it was always with the family. And then the next day I'd be out training again. And that's just how I am. I'm always thinking ahead. And even now I'm thinking about preseason, the end of January, and going back to America, preseason there is, it's pretty intense. So I'm just thinking about that and just staying in shape. So yeah, it's just about, you know, getting fit and being ready to go back.
Because as football watchers, I think we all love the Christmas period because there's so many games. Kevin mentioned the really tough schedule sometimes around the festive period. As a player, Denise, when you were playing around Christmas time, when the games were coming thick and fast, was that something that you appreciated and embraced, or was it something that really was a tough grind?
I think it was tough. I think the toughest thing was just being away from family at the Christmas time. I think I'm the youngest of 10, so I have a pretty big family, and just being away from all of them, it was very hard. And in Australia, you're waking up to 35 degrees and you're like, it doesn't even feel like Christmas. So, yeah, it was pretty tough, but I definitely appreciated being there as well and, you know, getting in that experience and, you know, playing games. So overall, it was good, but just missing family was the biggest thing, definitely.
Yeah, I can imagine, because you were saying as well in the past that maybe leaving Ireland, you were kind of glad you waited the extra couple of years to leave Ireland, because I guess you were very close to family, you were very close to being home. And I presume on Christmas that kind of hits home just that little bit more.
Yeah, it definitely does. I was going to leave at the age of 16 to go over to England and play pro, and I just wasn't ready for it. Just my mom was doing everything for me, mom and dad, and I just wasn't ready to leave yet. And yeah, but it's still hard being away for Christmas now, and I'm delighted to be here this year just to be with them and, you know, get some quality time.
I need to ask you about that, the fact that there's 10 of you, 10 kids on Christmas morning. What was that like?
Insane. It was crazy, honestly. And even now it's still mad because I have 20 odd nieces and nephews. So it's just me and my mum and my niece now at home, but they all come up Christmas Day. We all get together and then we go our own way for Christmas dinner in my brother's house. So yeah, it's a bit crazy opening up the presents together. The kids to be going mad, but it's just, that's the joys of it. That's what you want to see. It's all about the kids and Christmas Day.
And do you do a Secret Santa, or do you have to buy presents for all that lot?
I don't buy presents for everyone. No, just the God kids and, you know, my mom and just those people. And you'd be broke if you bought presents for every one of them. And they don't just look for cheap things either. Like, these kids look for expensive things these days.
And what's the age gap between, in your own family, the eldest and the youngest?
I'm 27 and my sister is 43.
43. Okay, so I'd say Christmas morning when you were a kid. Now that was intense enough. I'd say it was tough to get your hand. Like I can't even possibly imagine what it was like. Do you remember those Christmas mornings when Santa had just come and whatever? There's half a dozen of you still of an age to be so excited by that.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'd always just wake everyone up 5 a.m. I'd say, getting down the stairs, and honestly, getting to Christmas dinner was the hardest thing. There were so many of us, so you need to make sure there's food on your plate Christmas Day. But yeah. It's really fun, and even to this day, it's brilliant just having that many people around on Christmas.
Absolutely, I can imagine. Kevin, you mentioned David Moyes as somebody who would have you out training at 8 o'clock on a Christmas morning. Andy, you've kind of touched on it there. The Stephen's Day sessions, I want to come back to that. The manager or the managers who put you through the Stephen's Day session as opposed to the 27th. Who are they? Who are the good guys, the generous male managers you're referring to here?
I was actually thinking about this when I was coming down from the car in Dublin, and I couldn't actually think of who it was, but I just remember the feeling. I remember being in the... I remember if the schedule came out and you're on the 27th, you were just like, that's a bad call. You know, I was thinking, you're losing the first battle. But yeah, no, I can't remember the distinct ones. But we used to have, before we ever went into Mayo, we used to have a handball coach called John Gaffney. And the tradition was to go to the handball courts on on Christmas Day. So he used to come down to the house, be banging on the doors. My brother's about 6-7 years older than me. At that stage, he was obviously going out for a few pints on the Christmas Eve, you know, and he used to dread your man coming to the door. But you're right, was mad to go 13 or 14 years of age, going up to the Hamel Court. But his grandson now, Rory, plays for Shamrock Rovers. So there's a Joe, he was in that mindset, train on Christmas Day, get it ready for the rest of the Christmas, you know.
Does it make you feel like you're doing something that other players aren't when you get out around Christmas? I know Donal Cusack made that point that he go down to the handball alley with a hurl and a slitter on Christmas Day just because he felt that the Kilkenny lads weren't doing it. So he felt that he was getting an edge just by being out there on Christmas Day. I'm not sure that you go to those lengths as well.
Well, before I had kids, I found it a really long day, if I'm being honest. Christmas Day itself, there was so much. And like, it's okay for Denise there, but people like me, were little fatties, really. I kind of do have to watch what I'm eating around Christmas. So I try not to overindulge. I used to try not to overindulge during the whole Christmas Day. So I used to get out and go for a run. Competitive edges and all that, in my own head, it was a battle with myself more so than any opposition. But yeah, it was nice to get out and just get a bit of fresh air and just maybe shake off the cobwebs of Christmas Eve or something like that. But now that I had kids, in my last few years of playing for Mayo, when I had kids, you're not getting out on Christmas Day, you know, there's no chance of that.
And come here, did anybody, when you were doing those sessions on the 27th, actually go and enjoy their Stephen's Day and show up to the gym on the 27th?
Oh, no, there's none of that.
Right.
I'm telling you. It got to the point, like, we all came in and we're, the heads on us, grumpy, bad form, that we didn't get to go out the night before. But I don't think there was, because the Christmas thing was just, it was depending how the league was going to go. And over a course of the years, Kev, when you got to All-Ireland Finals, you actually went on a holiday then on the first week of January. So you might have had to train through the Christmas to go on the holiday. So there was a bit of give and take at that stage. But no, a few boys liked a few pints, but they wouldn't be brave enough to do that, particularly around Horn. You wouldn't do it around Horn anyway.
You want to explain that? Why wouldn't you do it around Horn?
Oh, you'd be gone. He'd run. you'd be put in the cooler for a month. I'd say you'd be put in the cooler. So it was. You had to kind of respect it, and then the boys had planned maybe they'd go out on the 27th together or something like that. You know.
Was there a particular moment, Andy, that you realised that players had, let's say, stopped wintering well? Because like that was definitely a thing not so long ago, where players would come back in for the start of the National League and maybe they'd enjoyed their Christmas or their time off quite a bit. But nowadays it'd actually be shocking if you saw somebody like that in modern intercounty football. Like, do you remember that moment when a moment that started to shift from a Mayo perspective?
Yeah, I was quoted many times talking about the Cork team of 2010, the forgotten team, the football team that won the All-Ireland. I think it was their team, if I'm being honest, because they were just so physically dominant in what they used to do in training. And I remember being on a tour in Kuala Lumpur in 2010 with them guys, and they just trained. No, they had a good time, they partied, but they were in the gym every day. They enjoyed the nights, but they worked during the day, and they kind of did that without any manager going in with them. And I think that was a sea change. And some of the Dublin boys were on that training camp, some of the Kerry guys, one or two Mayos and sprinkling of other counties. And everyone was kind of just watching them, seeing, okay, there's a different way of doing things. And then people started kind of reflecting their training around them. So I'd say it was around 2010, 11. I'm sure the Armagh boys of 2002, they were an intense bunch. I'd say they did it, but I'd say around that time they were the only ones that did it. You know, I'd say Kerry Tyrone used to enjoy the Christmases and come back and slowly come into it. But that Cork team, I think there was a distinct change around that team in Gaelic football.
Kevin, the same thing to you. It's probably shifting the months back by half a year here, but in terms of those off-seasons, was there a moment during your career that had actually changed from one to the other, or was professional football always professional in every sense?
Yeah, I think everyone recognises that Arsene Wenger probably changed English football, didn't he? With his introduction of the scientific approach, the diets and everything that went with that, which was, mid-90s, wasn't it now? You'd know more than me, Owen, on that one. But it was a change. And I was lucky because I was just coming into the game. Then I turned pro in 95, I think it was. And that was exactly that right time. So in all honesty, throughout my career, so when I was a youth team player, when I was for the 2 years between 16 and 18, it was it was probably around then where you were starting to get found out. If anyone, you know, you're a young kid, you go and have a night out. Someone in the town in Preston where I was playing then would have found out or would have told the manager. So you knew full well, even as a young kid, you were being scrutinized. So I think I learned very early in my career when I was playing that you couldn't go out and do what you maybe had done or what you wanted to do previous to that. There was a sea of change around then, and everything, the game all changed. And even around Christmas parties and things like that, still would have had great fun at them. Even the Christmas party, certainly into the late 90s, things started to change because there was so much scrutiny. People are ending up on the front page of the newspapers then for the parties and the shenanigans that was going on. So every time we had a night out, every single time we were going out around that time, into 2000s, then when I was becoming obviously more established and I was starting to get a little bit more feeling for myself and how I was going about things, you were just so aware of when you were going out and anyone that you'd spoken, anyone you were speaking to and whatever, there was always maybe a different line. I always felt there was always a different line. Managers would always find out what you're doing, where you are and how you're doing it. So definitely, as I said, the changing of the guard was definitely that time around Wenger coming into English football, yeah.
That's interesting. Did you experience that, Andy, as a player as well? The sense of, God, I can't really not step out of line, or I can't let the hair down too much here just in case I get recognised even, or in case, not even if the manager finds out, just the sense of a sense of profile around your own county, for example.
Yeah, it became later for us a tiny bit with the camera phones, really, was the big change. I think some of the shenanigans that went on in Sligo IT or IT Sligo when we were in college, just before the camera phone, don't knock you at 32:10 when you couldn't get in trouble, you know. So some of the shenanigans went around. But listen, as soon as the camera phone came in, I do think it changed, because once Twitter, Instagram, that instant posting of messages came in, Gaelic footballers now were subject to a different level of scrutiny more than they ever were. So I think that was the real change. And again, that was probably the turn of the last decade, really, where it really, really, really took off.
Denise, have you noticed a shift at all in football from your perspective over the last 10 years or so, kind of akin to what Kevin is talking about there? Has there been a real uptick in professionalism from your own experiences, or has it always been at quite a high peak anyway?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it is as strict as the lads are talking, like you'd be in trouble. But I think you have to, with social media, you have to be very careful if you're going on nights out now and stuff like that. Because if people see, you know, you're an example to these young kids, and if you're out partying and stuff and they've seen, you just have to be very careful with that. But I think for me, it's just holding myself accountable, not even thinking about anyone else, really. Around Christmas time, even, I'm getting messages, obviously, to catch up with a lot of people and, you know, go for a drink. And I'm sorry to disappoint him. I'm like, I can't do that. Like, we can go for a coffee and we can go for food, but I can't go for as many drinks as you want me to. But yeah, it's just about holding myself accountable and just being a good example to the kids, the young kids out there, the younger generation.
How many coffees have you gone for over the last little while then, since you've been at home since the end of the season? I presume it's quite a few.
Every day, honestly. I'm a bit of a coffee addict anyway, so I don't mind that. I love going for coffees. But yeah, it's just trying to catch up with everyone. I have a lot of friends here, teams I played for here, the girls catching up. So I love to see people. But yeah, it's just about holding myself accountable as well.
Is there anything that you have when you are in the States that keeps you in touch with home a little bit more? Or is it just literally WhatsApp and just keeping in touch directly?
Yeah, we have a messenger, a Facebook, a family group, all 20 of us on there. So sometimes they'd all go on the video call and we'd be all chatting. I think during COVID, we really seen that a lot, where the whole family would be on video calls because everyone's bored, nothing to do. So we'd go on there, the boys be having a couple of drinks on a Saturday night, my brothers, and they'd be getting on the phone singing. So yeah, it's good. Like, I keep in touch that way. And every day I'm keeping in touch with my mom. She's always calling me just to see how I'm doing and stuff. So that's nice.
And is all the mundane stuff posted in this WhatsApp group as well? Like, are you getting messages from people back in Cork saying, can you collect me from the train station or whatever on top of everything else?
No, it's not that far now at all.
talk us through the start of next year, Denise. I mean, it's going to be a pretty exciting year for the league over in the States. Obviously, there's an expansion draft, isn't there, actually this week, I think, happening. Obviously staying with your current club. You've been, I'm not sure, protected, but you're definitely signed up again to honour your contract there. It's an exciting time to be over there, I'd imagine, with all the new recruits.
Yeah, definitely. The expansion draft is next week, and that's always an exciting time. But luckily I have been protected, and I'm in a contract for next year also. So absolutely loving it there. And, you know, the team has changed a bit. Players have left and there's new players coming in. So we'll see a different courage next year. But we start pre-season at the end of January. So that's very exciting. It's the league has grown and grown. And now these two teams coming in as well, it's going to be more difficult. As you can see, the past year, we were championship winners 2 years in a row. And then last year, the league's just getting better and better. Teams are getting better. And, you know, we got knocked out in the quarterfinals. But, yeah, we're growing as a team. And it's a very exciting league. So I'm delighted to be there.
Can I ask you then about the year that was with the Republic of Ireland? I think from the outside looking in, it seemed like a pretty successful year. I think obviously finishing it off with an 11-0 isn't exactly a bad way to finish a year. I'm not sure if you've had time to properly consider the year that was in the Green of Ireland, but what sort of year was it from your view?
Fantastic, I think. Starting off with the equal pay for the women's team, I think that was absolutely huge. It will go down in the history books for us and, you know, for the younger generation as well. But I think the World Cup qualifying campaign we've got off to a good start, I think. We're second in the group now. We still have a long way to go, but we have tough teams coming up. Sweden and Finland are, you know, very tough teams. And then Slovakia away as well is going to be a huge game. But I think we'll keep our feet firmly on the ground. It's been really good so far. Our team has grown and getting better. But yeah, we've tough games to go, a long way to go, yeah. But the goal is to get to Australia, the World Cup, first World Cup for senior women's team, hopefully.
I'm not sure was it this year that it happened, but someone in the office informed me that you now have more international goals than one Kevin Kilbane. So that's a pretty big achievement over the last while.
That's not a hard thing, Owen, let's be honest. That's not hard.
Just looking through those statistics, Denise, I think you're the second highest goal scorer now, but behind Olivia O'Toole. Is that something that does matter to you at the moment, that sort of historical context of what you're achieving and the stats that you're producing, or is that something maybe that you'll focus on in a few years' time?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to hear that. I think I'm a good few goals behind Olivia too, though. She was unbelievable, but it is nice to hear that. But my main focus is just the team itself. And, you know, if I can keep scoring goals and creating chances, then that's amazing. But it's about the team, and I'll just keep focusing on myself for the next few years, just trying to get better, and hopefully the stats will come with that.
Is the Georgia performance your best performance individually, do you think, or what do you reckon? Where does that rank in terms of your own showings in the Green of Ireland?
Well, yeah, I think scoring a hat-trick was huge that night, obviously. But it was a good performance. Yeah, it was 11-0 and I really enjoyed it. So I'm not sure it was my best performance, but getting a hat-trick and, you know, everyone else as well. The girls were fantastic and there was a good few scorers on the sheet that night too. So yeah, it was a great night, and to have the fans there watching that and my family up as well was huge.
If we go back through some of the rest of your sporting highlights of 2021 then, Andy, I think it's pretty clear what yours was, showing up in the big screen that unbelievable night in Croke Park when Mayo beat Dublin in the All-Ireland football semi-final. Is that something that surprised you at the time, Andy, your own reaction to that, or were you straight away, once you hung up the boots, you were all in as a Mayo fan?
No, I don't think so. There's an adaptation period when you retire. I'm sure Kevin will agree with it. But I went there, shameless plug for our pod, and I had my my stat sheet with me, and I was taking down my stats. And, you know, 55 minutes, Kem O'McLaughlin got hit. All of a sudden, the programs have been hit off the back of the chairs, and, you know, it was just a moment in time where I nearly probably went from being a player analysing my teammates to being just a supporter. And it was lovely to be there with my wife and her parents and just to kind of watch it unfold. And of course we got the result, which was an amazing effort. The songs after was like, even we'd so many great days in Croke Park as a player, but to be there and to see it from the other side was actually quite special, to be honest. I know it sounds weird, but it was actually quite special and emotional. So that was definitely a highlight for me. It was such a, to be a Mayo person there, to see Dublin being bet, and us, the team that bet them, I think Kevin will agree, it needed to be that way, even though we didn't finish the job. It was still, you can't take away from the uniqueness of that evening that we were in Croke Park.
Does your relationship with those individuals, with those players, change throughout retirement? Because you're obviously delighted for your friends, for your former teammates, but do you have a different relationship with those former teammates now than you would have had when you were soldiering on together?
Yeah, I would like. I'd be very fortunate here in Balladreen. I'd have a very close group of friends myself away from Mayo, which, like, they're football mad too, but they wouldn't have been part of the squad, so they'd have been my really close friends. So to keep in touch with guys is quite tough. But like, we were at Ger Cafferty's wedding there last Friday evening, and it was like you were just going back into time. You just fit back into the group. They hide a few things for you. Of course, I'm stuck in the middle of the media now. They can't be telling me everything. But yeah, it was just lovely to be kind of around the group. But you have unbelievable bias to the guys that you used to play with. Like, I used to think I'd be able to go in coach in Mayo straight away after finishing. No way. Like, the bias I'd have in the media, even towards the players I played with compared to the players that I didn't play with, would be just, yeah. Yeah, you should
drink. And it's that personal touch to the man, isn't it? You know them personally. So it's not easy if you want to criticise them, because you can criticise people in a certain way, Andy, but it's just the amount of time that you've been in the trenches with them, and you know full well what they've been through to get to that position. I think that is the worst thing I always feel. I if I'm talking about any of the Irish teams now that I'll be talking about, now I'm distant. Now I'm away from all the players that I would have played alongside. It's much easier, I feel, to talk about.
Totally agree.
Has that changed your punditry then, Kevin, or your analysis, even down through the last 10 years or so?
I was on with you last week, Owen, wasn't I? And I spoke about when I had the phone call from Seamus Coleman. I did get a few phone calls from one or two players that I'd played alongside. Very few, I have to say. I would always feel that I've been fair. But certainly when you're doing the Irish games, I understand, certainly, and it's something I've always spoken about, that you're going from almost anonymity at club level, a lot of the players, to such a high profile playing for Ireland, that so much scrutiny around every single aspect of the performance that goes into the game. And I think that's the difficult thing, that when I was obviously working with you guys, certainly coming in and in the studio on a Monday evening, or whenever it was going to be after a game from a weekend, or even doing the game, commentating on the match with you guys, you get emotionally driven. You're obviously involved in the game, and you want the best for the team. And sometimes you're seeing things, and you know things are happening, and it's not so much you're holding back, but you know full well what that player is all about and what they have given their team over the years. So I do think it makes a difference in your own mindset. As I was saying before, I think it's a lot easier not having any sort of personal relationship with anybody, because you can actually just be a little bit more, not critical, but you can certainly look at it. You can just look at everything more openly without having that personal feeling with certain players. But I don't know, and I don't know. I just think over the years, I don't think I've missed an Ireland game since I finished playing. I think probably the highlight for me personally, I think since I have played, would always be that Germany game, the Shane Long goal against Germany. I wasn't working that night. I was in the Aviva behind the goal that Shane Long scored, and it was just maybe something what Andy's touched on there before, and we've had a lot of heartache along the way even when I was playing, but that moment, that to beat the, I think they were the world champions at the time, to beat Germany at the Aviva when everything was against us, it almost got us to qualification that time as well, and it was just special. It was a special moment when Shane put the ball in the net that night, and I know that Shane, he's had his criticism over the years himself as well, but for him to have that one moment as well was very, very nice, knowing him so well.
Right, that's very interesting. Just a reminder that this Christmas, more than ever, will be about quality catch-ups with family and friends. And to celebrate on OTB Sports, we're here for this special panel discussion with some familiar friends. It's all in association with Carlsberg, and the hashtag is Carlsberg Christmas. Don't forget, you can also win a Carlsberg Christmas get-together by heading over to carlsbergcompetition.com. That's for over 18s only. And get the facts, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie. Denise, have you ever picked up the phone to a former teammate and say, hey, I don't like what you're saying about me there on the radio or on the TV?
No, I haven't, to be honest. I know there's a few girls that, you know, played for the national team, and now they're doing TV stuff as well. Karen Duggan, Stephanie Roach, and no, I've never, I don't mind if I'm criticised or whatever. They know what I can do in the pitch, and sometimes they have to just be honest and give criticism, but I just take it on the chin, and that's how it goes. As professional football, you have to take that and get on with it.
And I think from what Andy's saying there as well is that there definitely develops a siege mentality within every team that, I guess, once there's somebody who leaves the camp or who retires or whatever the situation may be, you just naturally have a different group and that person naturally fades away for a while until the rest of you retire, I guess. I presume that's how it works.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're going on to do different things now and, you know, fair play to them. But in a couple of years, we could be doing the same thing as well when we retire. So it's just what they have to do. And as professional athletes, we just have to take that on the chin, and you're going to get criticism. And if we're playing well, they want the best for the team. And I think the whole team knows that. So that's the most important thing.
Sorry, Andy, did you ever try and get information for the football pod with Paddy and Andy and get rebuked pretty brutally by any of your teammates this year?
No. We went a different route, didn't we? But I'll tell you, just on and on, the what we're saying there, my problem with it, the only one of the players I played with, was you're always finding a reason for putting them fellas. Like, so if you came to me with about Lee Keegan or Aidan O'Shea or Keith Higgins or Robbie Henley or anyone like that, you'd always be finding a reason to put them in the team. It's not that you'd openly have to criticise them, not criticise them. But if you were going to pick your team, someone might say, Aidan should be dropped. I'd be saying, no, Aidan needs to play because he did this, this and this. Where are you looking at it really fairly? And that's the issue I would have, more so than Anthony really kind of negative to say about anyone, do you know?
Yeah, just a sort of unconscious bias, I guess.
Unconscious bias, that's exactly it, yeah.
Kevin, I didn't ask you for your sporting highlight of 2021, but I presume it's the same one as Andy, is it?
I just you probably threw it there. There has been some great ones, but yeah, it would be the Dublin game, definitely. Obviously, the huge disappointment in the final. I'd probably go with that one, but it was just such a special game. It really was. It's something that I do miss. I genuinely do miss about being home, just following the team. And, you know, since, 2015 or something like that, whenever it was, I watched so many games, the league games, the league final, of course, one of Andy's great moments as well. But I think to have that moment, given what's happened against Dublin over the years so many times, you know, the things that have happened in those finals that I'd still scratch my head now and think how the hell some of these things have happened and that's gone against the team. Andy obviously has felt it a lot more than I would have done, but to see the team play the way that they played as well, the style of football that they were playing, certainly in extra time as well against Dublin, it was incredible to watch. It really was. And seeing the emergence of some of these players as well, obviously Oisin Mullen will be a big blow next year and a big miss next year, but I think when you see the emergence in that big game, that, you know, when invariably when Mayo have played against Dublin and it's got down to the last 5 minutes of a game, the game's been lost just on a key moment, one little mistake, and to see the team plow on and power on through that, it was an amazing result, amazing game. Yeah, considering that Owen, you said that Mayo would lose by 10, so 10 plus, but anyway, there you go.
But just on the Gaelic football stuff, Owen, I also like the Tyrone Monaghan game. Where the two keepers were doing what they were doing, Morgan and Began were doing. Like, for me, I was sitting in the sitting room here, it was edge of the seat stuff to see. Like, we've seen how the keeper has transitioned in soccer from being just a catch and kick to have to manage the whole box, the whole area, the whole behind the back four or three. Now, Gaelic football, the keeper is becoming nearly the key component of a Gaelic football team. And to see it that day, now Began was playing high wire stuff, he was out jumping for kickouts, but last play of the game to see Morgan up marking the corner back and sprinting back when the ball is going, it just shows how much the game has moved tactically. I found that really just a brilliant game to watch, and the Kerry Tyrone game as well, they'd be all in the highlights of the Gaelic football season for me.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating year on that front. Well, Kev, when was the last time you were actually home with COVID and all that? I presume it's been quite some time.
Too long now, yeah. I said I've not been able to get back at all. As I said, it's quite telling. Friday the 13th, I arrived here in Canada due to stay for a week or two and then go back and get everything sorted. I've not been back since because of everything that's happened. So, Friday the 13th was quite telling for me in March 2020 now, yeah. So it's going on 2 years. And a lot's happened in 2 years, yeah.
And what was your longest stint away, Denise, since you've been playing abroad?
Probably about 6 months, I would say. Honestly, right. not as long as Kevin there, but even in those 6 months, it's still tough, but I'm onto the family every day, so it's not as bad.
What would be the thing that you would miss the most from home, say, for example, during that six-month period? Was there anything that would give you a particular pang of homesickness?
My mom's cooking, for sure.
Right.
she's unbelievable. So, yeah, I definitely miss that, coming home from the gym and just having her food on the table when I'm there. Yeah, I definitely miss that, for sure.
Talk us through what will she do for Christmas dinner then? Talk us through the masterpiece that she'll produce on the 25th.
She's actually getting a break. We're actually going to my sister's house that day. So they'll do the cooking there. So my aunt will just get to sit down and chill out, and my sister will do the cooking, the old turkey and ham and, you know, yourself.
Brilliant. She gets to enjoy it this year. Just in terms of looking ahead to 2022 then, folks, before we wrap up, Denise, next year, in the context of the Republic of Ireland, could potentially be a historic year, a hugely important year for this team. Have you thought about that, the specific matches that are on the line next year, and, of course, the potential end goal of what happens if these matches go well?
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. It's very exciting for us. First matchup is Sweden, the most competitive one. We'll have probably a tournament, I don't know, hopefully in Spain or something, before that for a few games. But the first game up is Sweden. Obviously, they're best team in the world, one of the best in the world, so it's going to be huge, and it's at Sweden as well. And then we have Slovakia and Georgia. But I mean, if we could get any result against Sweden, even a draw, being realistically, then that would be great. But the other games are must win for us to be able to get to a playoff spot at least. But it's a huge year for us, and we're very excited for it.
Andy, from your perspective then, again, another really big year for you personally, a very, very exciting one, taking your first steps into inter-county management. Again, you've spoken to us already about how you've dipped a toe into it and you're really immersed into it now at this point, but how excited are you for just that first game in the National League and for this season to get up and running?
Yeah, so it's a big year for Leitrim. I think the secretary said last week at his part of his notes when he was talking to the Leitrim County Board in the convention, he said Leitrim didn't win a game in any grade in 2021, hurling or football. You know, so it's a huge year for the county, and I'm privileged to kind of be part of it. So we play on the 4th of January in the Dome against Sligo. So straight away, that's a huge game. And we'll be kind of going after that. Then we've Cavan then further on in the National League in the first round, and then we're away to London then in the Championship. So yeah, really big first 6 months of the year. Looking for just a kind of positive kind of approach to it and show development and see where we can kind of get to, and then we just kind of move with it. On the broader scale of things, like, the Kerry team is so exciting. Even now with the club stuff, you can see more players coming into it. Joe defenders actually coming into the team, Jack O'Connor back at the helm. I think they're the team to watch in next year in 2022.
They're calling it. I like the sound of that, Andy, I'm not going to lie. And then, Kev, it seems for a football pundit, you have picked literally the best time to move to Canada. It seems that you're going to be a pundit in a country that's heading to the World Cup.
Yeah, it looks very likely, highly likely. Incredible to, they've only had one World Cup appearance, that was 86. They've got no real football in history yet. They've just emerged with this incredible talent, this side that they have at the moment. Both the men's and the women's game here. I was just speaking to Denise before I went on air. The women's team won the Olympics this year. They've got an amazing pool of players. And the men are just doing incredibly well as well. So, I'll never take my eye off watching Ireland. I'm more so looking at Stephen Kenny, what Stephen Kenny is going to do with the team over the next 12 months. I've really liked what I've seen over the last three or four games. And that's the most important thing as far as I'm concerned. Yes, I'm looking forward to the World Cup come next year. And I think Canada's next round of qualification is in January here. So it's very different to how it's done in Europe. But they've got some really tough games to come up. But it looks as though they'll certainly hit a playoff. Worst case scenario, they'll be in a playoff, and that's more than likely going to be against New Zealand. They've probably got better players, so they should beat New Zealand, even if it was a playoff. The top of the group now, so I would imagine they're going to finish in the top three and qualify, and it's going to be incredible for them. But as we're saying, more so I'm just looking at Stephen Kenny to see what's going to happen with the Irish side over the next while, certainly up until the new year. I do feel as though now that I would like to see his contract renewed. I'd like to see where this team's going to go. I don't really see any other path for the FAI to go at right now. I don't see any real need to change. And if there is a change, where are we going to go to? I just don't think it's necessary right now. So I'm just looking to see what Stephen Kenny can do hopefully given that next campaign after the Nations League going forward. And that's where we are. I feel as though there is progression. I feel as though that we're moving in the right direction. And it is about now qualification for the Euros in, what, 2024, isn't it now?
Yeah, exciting times one way or the other, though, Kevin. Just a reminder that this Christmas, more than ever, will be about quality catch-ups with family and friends. And to celebrate on OTB Sports, we're here for a special panel discussion with some familiar friends. It's all in association with Carlsberg, and the hashtag is Carlsberg Christmas. Don't forget, you can also win a Carlsberg Christmas get-together by heading over to carlsbergcompetition.com. That's for over 18s only. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. Denise, Kevin, Andy, it's been great spending some time in your company. Have a very happy Christmas and very best of luck for 2022.
The OTB Christmas panel in association with Carlsberg. Best time of the year? Probably. Get the facts, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie.